Hey, this is Mike Kovar, the Schooner Kid from Mallrats. You're listening to Jay and Bob Minute. A schooner is a sailboat, stupid head.
Dueling genre.
Welcome to the Jay and Silent Bob Minute, where we are covering the movie Chasing Amy, 1 minute at a time. Today we are covering minute 48, quite possibly the greatest SAT minute ever. I'm Jeff Ferry.
And I'm Chris Derkoch.
And I am Guy Hutchinson. I'm excited to be here. I love this show. I love you guys for doing this. I think it's so great that you're covering these movies. And it is a blast of nostalgia. And these are certainly characters we've all known and loved for so many years. For those who don't know me, I am a podcaster. I do the Drunk on Disney podcast. I'm also an author. I've written a handful of books. And I have a YouTube channel, which if you go to YouTube, Guy Hutchinson, you can look at it. And like you guys, I love the great state of New Jersey. And so I try to go to locations around the country when I'm places. But for example, I went to the place where the anthrax letters were mailed right here in the great state of New Jersey. And I think pretty soon I'm going to have to go up to Red Bank to go to the Broad Street location where this scene takes place.
The anthrax letters were in Pine Hill, New Jersey, right?
No, they were mailed out of... So the guy who mailed them, they believe, was a guy named Bruce Ivins, and he traveled from Baltimore to Nassau Street in Princeton and mailed them from a mailbox, which you can see on my YouTube channel. And then they were from there taken to a facility in Hamilton, New Jersey, in Mercer County. There's more than one Hamilton. And they were dispersed from there, and so when they had to, you know, find out where it was from, they checked the 600-plus mailboxes that took mail from that facility, and they found this one mailbox that had anthrax spores right there on Nassau Street. So, yeah, no, that's where it all started.
Yeah, that was fun times.
Oh, it was great. Wasn't it wonderful when we were all scared to open our mail? That was just wonderful. I mean, that's one of those things that you had to be there, because if you weren't, it's not relatable to people today. But boy, I actually, because I live not far from Princeton and from Hamilton, I had mail that went through that facility that had, you know, been irradiated where they put it, you know, under, I don't know what they cooked it or something, but it came out. It was like, you know, a flyer from JCPenney or something, but you could break off pieces of it. Like it was extra crispy. Wow.
Because, I mean, they normally run most of the mail underneath of something like that anyway, but it's nowhere near
the
amount to kill something like anthrax.
So they were like, and they put it in a plastic bag. They were like, you can throw this away if you want. And I was like,
don't even give it to me.
No way. I need this.
You saved it, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I want to see you go to JCPenney and try to give it to him. Like, here, you just have this section right here. You better handle it with gloves, though, or you're never going to have kids.
But I am going to try to, because I've been to a lot of locations from this movie, and I'm going to try to go to some more in honor of being on this and watching these minutes again. So, yeah, if you go to Guy Hutchinson on YouTube, subscribe, like, click the notification bell, and smash that like button. And what else do they do? I don't know. Whatever they do. Subscribe. Whatever you do on YouTube, make me cool like PewDiePie.
I was going to say, you lost me. Pretty much at YouTube is about all I can handle. That was the extent of my YouTube knowledge.
So the SAT reference, you mentioned that. He does say this is like an SAT question. The standardized test for college administration admissions in the United States, the SAT test, the Scholastic Assessment Test, debuted in 1926. And so by this point in 1997, it was well known across the country.
Yeah. And I used to know, like, when the original scores came out, I kind of knew what was a good or a bad score when it still went up to 1600.
Yeah. They updated them now.
And then they updated it. And then I was like, people are telling me scores. I'm like, why are all these kids so smart all of a sudden? I'm 2000? Like, these kids are morons. There's no way they scored higher than me.
Yeah. It is interesting. He throws the question to him. He's like, you know, which of these four characters, which we talked about in the last one, which was the non-political lesbian who likes men, and then the man-hating dyke, and then Santa Claus, and then the Easter Bunny. Which one's going to get the $100 first? Now, I'm going to say Santa's out of this. Why would Santa need any money? Santa doesn't need money. Clearly, Santa lives in some kind of world where he doesn't need any.
Yeah, Santa has magic.
He makes stuff. He doesn't.
Well, depending on what your point of view is, he either has magic or slaves. Either way, he doesn't need money.
There's no money involved.
I do tell my daughter every year that I got to send money to Santa. What do you think? He just makes this stuff out of nothing?
Now, I will say, a few years before this movie came out, there was Christmas in Hollis, where an entire significant portion of that Run DMC song is that he saw Santa in the park, and Santa left his wallet, which always baffled me, that Santa had a wallet with cold hundreds of G's in it, and that Santa was walking his reindeer on Christmas Eve also kind of bothered me. And the fact that Run seems to be frightened of Santa and his reindeer, Santa being the least threatening man on the planet, I found very strange. But mostly, I found the concept of Santa, you know, needing and having money to be very, very odd. And then Santa, if you remember, there was a letter from Santa under the tree that said the dough was for Run, which upsets me very much that there are people struggling and this rapper gets all of Santa's money because he found it. Again, also bothers me. But again, Santa doesn't seem to need any money, but perhaps a couple of years earlier, he gave all of his money to Run DMC, so he may be wanting to take a beeline for that $100 bill. We will find out in this minute.
Now, I'm assuming the nice lesbian has no chance at it, because I'm assuming she's in heels.
Yeah, that's a good question.
So she's not going to win a foot race.
I don't know. I saw that girl in Jurassic Park run with her heels. No problem at all.
She sure did. That's true.
She definitely ran from a T-Rex in her heels.
Yeah, I mean, if that documentary doesn't let you know the running in heels. Now, here's the real question. Have you ever seen a woman in real world run in heels?
No. They usually kick them off and carry them.
No, because would you run in heels? No, because if you say you had to run, I'm talking run for your life, man with chainsaw running. Ooh. Those heels are coming off.
Yeah, they're coming
off. Like, you're running without them. Now, the reason why you could run and technically not break the heels, I guess, if they were form-fitting, if you're running fast, you're running up on the balls of your feet anyway, so you wouldn't break the heel. Mm. But, like, why would you keep them on your feet? Yeah. It's not going to help you.
Right. I am going to say she is wearing heels. The drawing is a little... it's stylized to a point that you can't totally tell, but it appears she has some heels on with her cute little dress and not a side pony. It looks almost like a straight up high ponytail.
I would say right there, you've eliminated two of them. Santa doesn't need it. And, the other one's not going to make it.
Right.
Yeah. The Easter Bunny, I don't know. The Easter Bunny, are those eggs, are they expelled from his body? Or does he have to purchase them?
It's the age-old question of why does an animal that has live births looking for eggs?
Yeah, I'm starting to think Banky is right. Obviously, the answer is the woman at the bottom. I think
because if you're kicking out the two others because they're weird, you know, the other one's searching for eggs. The other one's he's got his race of elven slaves. And so if it's just a foot race between two women, one of who is probably wearing sensible shoes and the other one who has on heels that she probably just bought, I mean, you got to give the edge to the other one.
I think that's right. I think the man-hating dyke, I think with the I hate men, which I've never seen, by the way. I've seen a lot of cosplay at conventions. I have never seen a woman wear an I hate men shirt, but I think somebody should. I think this is a shirt. I would wear it.
That is a deep cut. What you do is you have all four of them. We have the three of us show up, and if we would need for the fourth person, we probably need to have a woman.
That's right.
But you know, I'll dress up like Santa. Chris can be the Easter Bunny. You can have the I hate men shirt on.
That's right. I can get a crew cut. But I think your next shirt should be those saggy kind of bosoms she has, and then I hate men right across it. That should be. What's your T Public? You guys have a design on there, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Tell me. It's so do you have a plug? Please.
You can go to TeePublic and find.
Besides the pork roll shirt, which you already tried to plug.
Yeah.
That was the last show. We're in a new show. Some people may have skipped that one. I'm trying to plug for you.
We have 6 or 7 designs. There's a Burbs Minute shirt. Look, search under Burbs Minute, and you'll find us.
I'm not even supposed to be podcasting today.
Right.
What was it? Oh, there's a, because we have to put stuff up of many fights we've had on here besides the pork roll one. We have the Team Roper t-shirt because we're Team Roper here, not Team Furley.
That's all right.
Yeah. But again, it's a fight about something that's ridiculous because I do love both of them.
Yeah. I mean, but here's the thing. I feel that is such a 50-50 thing. It's the only other one that I can think of that's as close where a recast where there I can't decide the better of the two is Woody and Coach from Cheers. That's the only other one I can say where I'm like, hey, you know what? I like both of them. I like them for different reasons.
I thought you were going to say you weren't able to pick your favorite Golden Girl.
No, I can pick my favorite Golden. Come on. Come on. Estelle Getty all the way.
Get the hell out of here. Take Dorothy all day.
Oh, I'm going Betty White.
I'm B. Arthur man. All right. Now that we talk about the Golden Girls, why do you think Holden selects the man-hating dyke? That just because he thinks Jason Lee is pushing him there?
Yeah. That's a really good question. It must be because he says it and he's like he says it like almost like begrudgingly, like he's like obviously it's the man-hating dyke. Right.
Yeah. Cuz we know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
But not exactly what he's thinking.
But he doesn't know why. No, he's not sure.
He's not sure. And I don't think he's expecting what's about to happen.
This I think, is the funniest, at least from my first viewing of the movie. And taking out anything about, things being problematic or anything like that, this line is funny. It's delivered well. He shouts it, and it's one of those lines that even if you are so woke that you will feel bad for doing so, you're going to do a when he says it if you haven't heard it before, because he shouts it and says it with such gusto where he says they're all figments of your imagination. It's great.
And he really screams it, and he screams it, and as he screams it, he gets closer and closer to Ben Affleck to the point where Ben Affleck has to lean out of the way so he's like not up against his face.
Breathing on him, right.
Yeah.
No, it's great.
So the real question is here, as he screams out, they're all figments of your fucking imagination, is what does everybody think of Figment?
From Epcot? Oh, I got nothing but good things to say about Figment.
I have good things to say, except for the last time I was there, it got stuck. And it was just the spot where Figment's standing on top of the table.
Yeah.
And over again saying the same spiel.
And you're somehow disappointed? That sounds like the greatest experience ever.
No, the greatest experience was I got stuck in the ball ride. What's it called? The Epcot
Spaceship
ball.
Earth?
Spaceship Earth.
The and ball had to ride. Walk.
Well, I had
how many
to
times have you been to Disney World?
Chris? I know.
But, I was in the golf ball.
golf ball. But it got stuck halfway up, and we had to walk all the way down. I was touching everything on the way
down.
That's
amazing.
I have pictures. I'll post them on Facebook. It was the best thing ever.
Let me tell you. So Figment, he is a purple dragon. He appears in Journey into Imagination. They had a previous version of that attraction, which was longer and is to a lot of people more beloved. I do like the one that's there. It's not the same as the first one, but I'm glad it's there. There was a weird attraction in the middle that if you ever want to do a deep dive into terrible theme park ideas, you should look up Journey into Your Imagination. But the first one came out in 1983. Billy Barty, who if you've ever seen UHF with Weird Al Yankovic, he's in that. He's in a billion other things.
I was going to say, was he in, is it Ice Pirates? Is that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah, no, I think so.
What's the other one? I can't remember.
He was a very famous little person actor. Under the Rainbow he's in. But if you ever watch UHF, he plays Noodles McIntyre, or Noodles McIntosh. She calls him McIntyre, and he goes, McIntosh! And he does the voice, and then I think Corey Burton did it at one point, but Dave Goles, the voice of Gonzo, is the current voice for Figment. And Figment is a purple dragon. And the reason he's purple is when they first designed the attraction, they designed him green. But Kodak was a sponsor for the park. And Fujifilm used the color green. And they were like, no, I'm sorry. We're going to sponsor this attraction. We can't have our competitor's main color as the color of this dragon. Oh. So they went ahead and made him purple. And I'll tell you this, the name Figment comes from an episode of Magnum PI. I think it was, I want to say Tony Baxter, who created the attraction, was watching Magnum PI, and there was a scene where they were like, well, who cut the grass? And he said, this is a figment of your imagination. He says, well, figments don't eat grass, because there was a goat in the, that the guy was hiding in the sequence in the show. But That's Figment. I'm so glad we got to talk about Figment.
I knew. Well, as soon as it got brought up, I'm like, oh, I know exactly what I'm going to drop this right on, guys. Right in his wheelhouse.
This has been another episode of the Figment Podcast. I appreciate you guys coming out. Make sure to follow us at Figment Podcast on Twitter. We are official Figment Podcast.
I honestly have a little toy on my computer desk that looks like Figment. I just sent it to you guys on the Facebook Messenger.
When my sister went to her senior trip in 1991, so I'm probably like 11, 12 years old. She comes back and she's like, here, I got this for you. I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, I've never been to Disney World. This means nothing to me.
Oh, yeah, that you have there, though, that is not Figment.
God, it's a Bobo Figment.
That's from Doc McStuffins. My daughter.
Is that Doc McStuffins? Yeah.
And wait, let me give you some more though. So you've got a Doc McStuffins character that's Stuffy the Dragon, and he is voiced by Robbie Rist, the Oliver from the Brady Bunch.
Really?
Cousin
Oliver. Oh my God, really? Cousin Oliver?
The great Robbie Rist. Who's an awesome follow on Twitter, by the way. Go follow him. Tell him I sent you. He'll be happy. I love that guy. I interviewed him, and we're Hollywood friends, which is not real friends, but we're Hollywood friends, and he's an awesome dude. He's very funny.
So that's like Hollywood friends. You got your podcast friends.
Yeah, like on that level. It's exactly. It's the type that you're so excited to talk to them for an hour, but if they showed up at your front door, you'd call the cops. That's I'm sure he would if I showed up on his front door. He would dial 9-1 before I even walked up the walk.
Especially if you did it again after he's already warned you.
That's right.
All right. Now, so after we get through that, Banky screams at him, I think Holden actually does something that's almost an adult thing to do here. What, he's like, okay, away? I'm going to try to, you know, de-escalate. I'm going to go to my room.
I do like the shot of the pen sliding down the lesbian's picture when he throws it back down, it just slides right down her.
Yeah,
it's a nice close-up. This scene theoretically takes place in their apartment, which is on Broad Street in Red Bank, which is where Kevin Smith now has his store. So this was their apartment is above Jack's music shop, which is almost directly across from Kevin Smith's store in real life.
Yeah, I wonder how much it actually costs to have that place right now.
No, I bet Red Bank's nice. Yeah, I mean, Red Bank has come up in the world.
All right. And then, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that the door to his room says, "Here lies Dick Boy."
I gotta imagine Banky spray painted that on the door.
Yeah. Which is again is something that as a mid 20-year-old living with another guy, you can get away with that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Could you imagine in your actual life now if you just spray painted words on your wall? It doesn't even have to be anything like that. Just anything. You just, well, you mean for like, some reason, even if you spray painted, this is our bedroom.
Here lies my bitch wife.
Yeah, oh my. Yeah, I could. Guess what? You'd be lying in your grave after that.
You wrote, I love my wife. It would still go, exactly the same.
All I did was put a sign that said restrooms on my bathroom door, and she flipped out the one time.
Jack's Music Shop, as far as I know, is still there, though. It's next to the Chase Bank and almost directly across the street from there. There's some nice shops there if you ever go to Red Bank. I know the diner they show in this movie is closed about maybe 6 years ago, which is sad. Makes me, because I don't think I've ever eaten there. But if it ever reopens, we are all going for some pork roll, egg, and cheese.
they're like, oh, we're reopening. I don't know why. There's three jackasses out front.
They never leave. They keep saying they're chanting pork roll outside the door.
Sorry, guys. We only got Taylor Ham in here.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, we're going to burn this place down.
So, yeah, I mean, they scream, they holler, they walk by. They also walk by. There is a big sign on the wall that says Whitey, and I tried to find any references to this online. I couldn't. It looks like a giant slice of white bread with in front of it, instead of saying Wonder, it looks like it says Whitey. And then there is, it appears to be, because it's a headless man, you only see him from about the knees to about the top, the bottom of the neck. But the way he's dressed, it looks like if James Dean, with the red shirt and the white t-shirt under it, had gotten kind of chubby from eating white bread, and so his belly's sticking out. Maybe it's not. He appears to be holding a humongous pat of butter, like a 20 by 20 pat of butter in his hands in front of this giant slice of bread. Yeah.
And ate a lot of butter.
There is a contraption on the wall that I do recognize. It's this weird it's this weird contraption on the wall that when you see them walk into this area where there's kind of like a kitchen counter, under a picture on the wall is a contraption that was very popular at the time, which you would use to crush a soda can. It would be mounted on the wall, and you'd grab the press at the top, and it would push your soda can and crush it. So that way your recycling bin, you could fit a whole lot more. And you can actually see where it is located. There's a phone right below it, and it looks like kind of materials for them for like booze is right in that area. So I guess, you know, they may be having, you know, some rum and coke or whatever. But their recycling bin is just off to the side from there. The problem with that device, because I did have it, is that your trash can would become really heavy. Like if you had a full-size recycling bin and you crushed all your soda cans, oh boy. That's a workout to put that thing on the curb. Before they had those wheelie. Before, at some point in like the, I would say this is like late 90s. I feel like it was early 2000s. The people that made luggage and trash cans were like, hey, you know, there's a thing called the wheel. I heard it's like a big thing. You could put a wheel on things and then they're easier to move. And then all of a sudden we had suitcases and trash cans that had wheels on them, which, boy, it changed the world.
Those suitcases are fun, too, when you're going through the airport and you can spin them when you're walking around.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fun.
But can you imagine that we went decades where they were like, now you got to carry your suitcases?
And well, no, like, they used to get other people to carry them and tip them. That's how they used to do it.
That is the bell. What do they call them? Not the bellhop. They call them the sky cab.
Yeah, the sky cab. I never know how much I'm supposed to tip that guy either. You're supposed to give him $5. You're supposed to give him, you know, $20.
Now, we have lost Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff does this to me sometimes. Just disappears.
The last time when we did Mallrats, he disappeared during that.
That's but true. I do remember
you
that.
You and I, we bonded. So I'm glad we were able to bond again today.
He knows that we bonded and figured we need a little more time together. That's what he did.
Do you have anything more from this minute?
I do not have anything more from this minute. I don't know if Jeff does, but
I don't either. I think it's a good minute. I think these 3 minutes that we did together, I think, are just wonderful. I think it's a very funny gag, and I think the argument afterwards is interesting to watch. And while it takes place in such a small space in such a short period of time, you know, there's almost no cuts in it. I mean, it's really a very interesting few minutes, but it's I think a pivotal moment in the movie, and I'm glad I was able to talk about
it. Yeah, it's definitely a good scene. You did get a good scene. At first I'm watching, I'm thinking it's just drawing, but back.
That's great.
Jeff showed up.
It's funny. I said, Jeff had said to me, he's like, what minute would you like? And I was like, you know what? I don't really care. Give me any minute. The last movie when we did Mallrats, I was like, I have a very specific minute I want to talk about. And we did, but this one, I was like, I'll take anything. And then once we got into it, once we, you know, picked the moment, I was like, if I had chosen a minute, if I had watched this movie, this would have been the 3 minutes I would have chosen. So I'm so glad we got to talk about it.
We had a couple people ask for specific minutes, but mostly some people just asked to avoid certain parts of the movie.
That happened too. Yeah.
I don't like, and not to spoil the ending for any weirdos that are going minute by minute, but I never like the ending of this because to me, so the poster, if I remember correctly, and I know it's the DVD cover, is she's real big. So you see Joey real big. And then you see Holden and you see Banky. And then you see Jay and Silent Bob. And they're almost as big as them on the cover. And they are not in this movie until the end. And then when they showed up, I remember being like, all right, here we go. You know, business is fixing to pick up. And then Bob talks too damn much and shuts down Jay. And I remember like watching him being like, that's not my Jay and Silent Bob. So that is the minute I do not want. So I'm glad I was on this minute. This was a lot of fun.
Which is funny because people were specifically like, I want Jay and Silent Bob because they're only in it. I mean, what's it going to be, Chris, for us? Maybe 2 weeks?
Right. So you can't give it to everybody.
Yeah.
Bob chats. This is Chatty Bob. I saw one of the videos on YouTube was Jay and Loquacious Bob, which was a video of that scene. That is a – he talks and talks and talks.
Well, I mean, we'll get there. We'll talk about how that really went when he was trying to do it. Every other movie, he's smart enough to give himself like a line or two. Yeah. I mean, he's got like a few lines in Strike Back. He's got a whole little thing he does in Reboot, but – I think this was the last time he gave himself like real like serious dialogue.
I'm looking forward to hearing you guys talk about it.
All right. So
sadly,
yeah.
It always feels like it's never a victory lap at the end here. It's always a last.
Well, it's pretty bad when you get to the end and he's just like, "Well, let's see what the magic eight ball says."
Yeah, that's good. I do like that. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I love that gag. I do like that. He shakes his hand and pretends that he's got a magic eight ball. And then he says, no, I like that. I do think that's great. You know, he says that they'll never fornicate. The two of them will never bump uglies. Yeah. And I do like that. I think that's a good. I think that's a great little gag. And I think I wonder if that was written or if that's a Jason Lee ad lib or something that they came up with on set. But I think that's great.
All right. I don't think I have anything else. Did we miss anything? Did we miss anything for the whole movie? But you haven't rewatched it yet.
No, I have not. I'm looking forward to doing so. I will be listening to you guys. I'll be listening to you, me, and you at that time when I'm listening to it in the future.
Well, that's so always interesting to listen to a podcast you were on like months later.
I don't remember.
Like, I don't remember saying any of this.
Yeah, you don't remember. You don't. And it is a weird thing. I have a lot of people that will talk to me who will say, hey, blank, blank, blank. And I'll say, what? And they'll say, no, come on. Don't you remember? And I don't know what we're talking about. And then they'll refer to some moment. And it's like, oh, yeah, at that moment, this isn't a movie where it's like we rehearsed it and we scripted. This is a moment. This is a quick moment. I may have made a joke and it's, you know. So, yeah. But this was a lot of fun. I'm so glad we got to talk about this movie. It was an unexpected blast of nostalgia to revisit.
All right. Why don't you plug away one last time, guy, and see, get the people over to your site.
All I need you to do, if you like me at all, if you thought that guy's vaguely interesting to me, go online, look up Guy Hutchinson. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Pinterest, and I don't know what it is. I think I'm on something called TikTok. But I'm all over the place, and I will sell you things, but only once you get there, find me, and fall in love with me. So go, fall in love with me. We'll French kiss and dance the night away. This will be great.
Sober
Chris can't even get our plug out.
Sober Chris is tired, Chris, at the end of the night. We are the Jay and Silent Bob Minute. We're on DuelingGenre.com. Click through their Amazon link over there. Throw them a couple bucks. And I think I did enough plugs for this week. You got anything else, Jeff?
No, just remember, variety is the spice of life.